nurture us, to nourish us, and to strengthen us. Reading a portion from the first lesson, Ahab said to Elijah, "So you have found me, my enemy." "I have found you," he answered, "because you have sold yourself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord. I'm going to bring disaster on you. I will consume your descendants and cut off from Ahab every last male in Israel, slave or free. I will make your house like that of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and that of Baasha, son of Aggi, because you have provoked me to anger and have caused Israel to sin." So far, God's word for our consideration this evening. Through this series of the last few weeks, we began with King David. Sin that he committed in the eyes of the Lord, of course, was with Bathsheba. We continued with Saul, and then continued with Solomon. And each one seems to be worse than the previous one. Well, tonight we hear about Ahab, as you heard in the first lesson this evening, about this vile, horrible king. If you remember back in Judges, the people of Israel did not want to be with a judge. They wanted a king. So God said to them, "Okay, you're going to have a king. But we'll see how you feel after the king has been there." King David, King Saul, King Solomon, now King Ahab, a vile king. He was worse than the next, and none could compare to his idolatry. Asherah was a Hebrew god that was the Canaanites, the Amorites. They would put this big pole up, and there was the Asherah and the Ashtabi. These were gods to them, so that they would bow down. And God had said to these kings before and to the house of Israel, "You will not intermarry. You will continue to be pure. I want my children to remain pure." So what did King Ahab permit? He permitted the intermarry of tribes, and he himself intermarried, and he began to put this Baal god in front of the people so that they would worship him. And he became so vile. And then as you turn the pages of Scripture past 1 Kings 16, you see another portion of Ahab. And here he comes very possessive. He wants a vineyard that has been produced by a lowly servant. And Ahab goes up to this servant, this lowly servant, and says, "You know, I would like to have that piece of land there that you've got your vineyard on, because I want to have a vegetable garden." Well, Naboth did not want to sell anything to Ahab. He says, "I'm not going to sell it to you." And Ahab goes back home. In this other portion of Scripture, he goes back home and he complains to his wife, Jezebel. And Jezebel is a very vile, vengeful woman. And she says, "You will have that garden for your own. Just leave it up to me." And so she gets these people to go out and kill that servant, so that King Ahab will have this portion of land. And so now God is using Elijah as his servant to go tell Ahab what he has done in the eyes of the Lord, that he has sinned in the eyes of the Lord. He's become very vile and possessive and horrible. And so you read also, you heard the portion of scripture where Elijah comes to Ahab and Ahab repents. But it seems to be just a little kind of, okay, I'm going to repent for this length, and then I'm going to gather myself together and I'm going to be my vile king again. And that's what happens through these pages of scripture, that we see this vile king. But I want you to think about this, that as we look at Ahab and see the problems that he was in and the sin that he has committed, I want you to think of the world that we live in. We live in a world where people are committing sin after sin after sin. Think about the carjackings. Think about the killing of people. Think about what has been going on in our world. And we sit and say, you know, God, I'm not like that. But then, I got a question for you. I want everyone who has not committed sin against the fifth commandment, which is, thou shalt not murder, to raise your hand. You're going, gee, if I raise my hand, what's going to happen? Pastor's going to say, yes. Think about the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment is, thou shalt not commit murder. But when Luther talks about this fifth commandment, it is being wrong to anything you do against your neighbor. Ahab committed sin against his neighbor. He wanted the vineyard. He wanted to have that vineyard so bad that he worked with his wife Jezebel and they had him killed. And so the vineyard came to Ahab. So God was using Elijah. God is using his word in our lives to say that we have sinned. In Romans it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed. And another question when I do this. Husbands, have you sinned against your wives? We're not going to say anything, are we? Wives, don't look so smug. Have you committed sin against your husband? Sure we have. We've done it in thought, word, and deed. We've become vile like Ahab. Sometimes we have become very vile. I've been grumpy the last couple of days. That's confession. And I have not been nice. So I don't have my kids living with me. So there's one other person that I haven't been nice to. And I have asked for her forgiveness. So that happens in our lives. And what does God do? God didn't throw Ahab out because he sent Elijah to him. And Ahab put on that sackcloth and ashes in for seeking God's forgiveness. Even though it was a little too late, he still did that action. God didn't toss him away. God doesn't toss us away either. God doesn't throw us away. He comes to us in his son, Jesus. And Jesus says, I put your sin on my shoulders. Jesus says, I go to the cross for you to forgive all your sins. I will die for you. And I will rise again for you. I'm not going to throw you away because you have sinned in thought, word, and deed. I'm going to come to you and I'm going to pick you up. And I'm going to lift you up. so that you can continue to be my servant in the world. You see, Ahab gives us an illustration about who we are. Elijah comes to us. God's word comes to us. And in that portion of scripture, so clear, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son into death so that all who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what God does. God comes to us in his word, forgive us. Even though we've been vile and we've been terrible and we have sinned against God and his word and against our spouse, against our children, against those whom we have seen, still God showers us with his grace and his mercy each and every day. That's why in Matthew, when Jesus talks about forgiveness, in the 18th chapter of Matthew, and Peter says to Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times 70? And Jesus says, yes, even more so, because it's an infinite number. Anytime your brother or sister comes up to you and says, I am sorry, we are to forgive. And that's God's word for us this evening. Even though we are miserable sinners, sometimes like Ahab, we are still forgiven in Jesus Christ. In Christ's holy name, amen.